Amen. All right. So let's turn in our Bibles to Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9. I enjoy preaching through the narratives. When I say narrative, that is a story form. It's aspects of the Bible, places, a genre in the Bible where things are told in story form. And your historical books, Joshua being one of them, is a great example of them. And so they're interesting to preach because you're looking for the treasures and the nuggets that God has there for you. You know, you ask the question, why is He telling us this? Right? Why? I mean, we know a lot more happened. This isn't everything. But why is He telling us this? And, you know, it's just mining that and asking God to teach us. And so tonight, we're going to focus tonight in on the account of the Gibeonites. Now, we remember the Gibeonites? And we're going to look at this, and I trust it will be just a challenge to us as we consider our Lord as counselor. Our Lord as counselor. Is He your counselor? Do you seek counsel from Him? In my own life, I too often delay in seeking counsel from Him. Perhaps you're like me and you get yourself into a bind and you try everything. Try all these different things to maneuver and get out of it, and you know, and eventually you're reminded, oh, I do have the Lord. Let me seek His counsel. Is anybody like that? Do you share those times? I mean, am I alone? No, right? It's really tough when your kids remind you, right? Dad, we should pray about this. Oh, yes. That'd be good, wouldn't it? That'd be a good idea. So I want to do better with that. I want to do better with that. But today we're going to really see the danger of not seeking God's counsel. How we ourselves can be so easily deceived. And even though we think we have many years of experience and we are God's chosen leader, as in Joshua, we've been saved for years, right? Nevertheless, I think what we'll find tonight is the importance of always remembering the Lord as counselor. And more than remembering that, seeking His counsel. Seeking it. So, Joshua chapter 9. Verse 1, it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys and in all the coasts of the great sea, over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, heard that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. Now, what did they hear? Well, they heard that Ai had been defeated, and Jericho had been defeated. There is a powerful force in the land. We are in trouble. And so now they're gathering together, alliance after alliance, for strength to go against Israel. Verse 3, when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily. All right. craftily, is that the word? Wilily is what we have here in the King James, right? Any other words that you have? Cunning, with cunning, okay? All right. So we have this, we get the idea. So they are working craftily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors. And they took old sacks upon their donkeys and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provisions dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. Now I just take a moment. We'll think about this for a moment. All right, we have Israel is destroying the people of the land. I mean, they are utterly destroying these nations. These kingdoms have a right to be afraid. I mean, invaders. Gibeon's pretty smart. I mean, this is crafty, isn't it? They realize that, hey, if Jericho was down and Ai was down, there's a great chance here that the rest of us are in pretty big trouble. What other options do we have? What's our other options? Well, the option is that we can try to make a covenant with them. That's what league means here. Same word as covenant in your Bibles and other places, like in the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant with Noah, same word. They want to make a covenant, an agreement together with the people of Israel. They want to take this chance because they've understood a little bit about the Lord Jehovah. And we'll see that as we read on. Verse 7. The men of Israel said unto the Hivites. Now, notice Hivites is also found in verse 1. And so the Hivites must have been a greater group of people. Gibeon must have been a part of that group. And here we have the term Hivites used for these Gibeonites. That's a key term for us. Peradventure, you dwell among us. So Israelites, Joshua and his leadership, are now saying to these ambassadors, quote unquote, peradventure you dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? What if you are actually from here? How can we make a covenant with you? So they're questioning their motive and their statement. This is good, right? This is wise. Listen to the response. Verse 8, they said unto Joshua, we are your servants. Joshua said unto them, who are you? And from where have you come? And they said unto him, from a very far country your servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon, and to Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you, take supplies with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants. Therefore now make you a league or covenant with us. This is our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now behold, it's dry and it's moldy. These bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them, and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. This is an very interesting passage, because you have these Gibeonites who, in one sense, they are very much like Rahab, right? They've heard the testimony of the Lord, of His power and of His might. And it causes them to be afraid. It causes them to be, how can we stand before these people and their God? So they take a risk here. And of course, Rahab does this. And you see these Gibeonites doing this. Now, there is some differences. The Gibeonites are doing this in a deceptive form, whereas Rahab was upfront about who she was and what she was asking. It's interesting that the situation with Rahab, there needed to be a display and show of faith. She had to put the cord out of her window. So I want to just talk through here what happened as Joshua, as it's clear in verse 14, he asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. That word counsel is actually not in the original, so you really could just say asked not at the mouth of the Lord. And this goes back to, why does the Lord tell us this? Why these details? Why this account? And I really believe this is the key to it. The key is showing us here what happens when you forget or overlook, or shall I say neglect to seek God's counsel. And what's the big deal about this? Well, Joshua was to seek after God's counsel. So there's a couple things we're going to look at tonight. So first, Joshua was told to seek counsel. Look at Numbers chapter 27. This was a text we already looked at as we began our study of the book of Joshua. And this was where Joshua was established as Moses is the leader to follow after Moses. But notice what it says in Numbers 27 and verse 21. This is speaking of Joshua. Numbers 27, 21, and it says, "And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation." So in the very call and transfer of leadership, it was told Joshua that he was to involve the high priest, Eleazar, and seek the Lord's counsel through him. This was an important part of his role as the leader of the people of Israel. This is a necessity, Joshua. You need to seek my counsel. With that in mind, so we understand Joshua was told to seek counsel. We also, in Exodus 34, we see that God had a plan, and that was already told to the people of Israel, including Joshua. Look what Exodus 34 says. And beginning in verse 10. "And he said, Behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord. For it is a terrible thing that I will do with you. Observe thou that which I command you this day. Behold, I, the Lord speaking here, behold, I drive out before you the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, and the, who? The Hivites, and the Jebusites. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a what? Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of you. But you shall destroy their altars and break their images and cut down their groves, for you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call you, and you eat of his sacrifice, and you take of their daughters unto your sons, and their daughters go whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go whoring after their gods, thou shalt make thee no molten gods. Well, what did God tell the people of Israel? I will drive out before you these people. I will drive them out. And then he says very clearly, don't make a covenant with them. Take heed to yourself. What is it? What is embedded in that language? Be careful. Be careful. God, who knows all things, it's interesting you think about that. He gives this knowing what's going to happen, right, with Joshua. But yet he writes this for the people of Israel in the wilderness to understand this truth. I'm going to drive them out. And then this whole situation with Joshua happens, and God uses this as an example. And why I again believe it is an example for the importance of we need to seek God's counsel. You know, you can make much of the Gibeonites and their deceit, but we can't really expect anything different, right? They didn't claim to worship the Lord Jehovah. They're just trying to survive. So I don't think God's point is necessarily, hey, focus on the deceit of the Gibeonites, but talk about the Israelites. What's going on there? You know, we can easily be deceived. We can. No one can deceive the Lord. No one. No one can deceive the Lord. I mean, let's understand that. Let's not be so proud in our hearts that in saying, nobody's ever going to get me. Nobody's ever going to pull that on me. Now, I trust that we're wise and prudent, and of course, the Bible tells us to be wise and prudent. But this is in Him. And in the context of who He is. So don't be proud and saying, nobody's going to ever pull that one on me. But rather, we trust in the Lord with all our heart. And we lean not on our own understanding. Right? In all our ways, acknowledge Him. And He, what? He'll direct your paths. The Bible is full of examples of people who sought God's counsel. We know that people in the book of Judges at various times sought God's counsel. We know that David sought God's counsel. inquired of the Lord on multiple occasions. We also have the example of Saul, who did not ask counsel of the Lord. Who did he ask counsel of? A witch. A witch. 1 Chronicles 10. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. I mean, this is describing why God killed him. Why God allowed him to die on the battlefield that day. He didn't inquire of the Lord. He sought counsel of a witch. Yes. Yeah, he was a pretender, disguising himself. It's interesting also what is said by Isaiah in Isaiah 30, chapter 30, verses 1 and 2. We read these words, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt." This is what Isaiah says of the people of Judea. Well, we need to be discerning people. Decisions that have to be made, and of course the magnitude of this decision is very large, especially since Joshua knew what God had said: don't take heed to yourself, don't make a covenant with them. And this is exactly what these people are asking for. We want a league, we want a covenant with you. People that are deceptive, there are certain clues that we can pay attention to. Just a couple things that I noticed from this text. As we think of those that are seeking to deceive us, they often communicate in the realm of generalities rather than the specifics. Because the specifics will get them into a box, into a corner. But if they can stay in the general and be general in their communication, there's safety there. They have a lot of options if they're asked certain questions. I'm still in Joshua chapter 9, and you see that Joshua asks them, "Who are you and from where have you come?" That's a pretty pointed question. Who are you? It's like I come up to you, Eric, and I say, "Who are you?" And you tell me, "I'm some man that lives down in Sloansville." Or I'm some man who lives over there. Right? And so beware of the generalities as you interact with people, and if people are hedging and they're afraid to be specific. I mean, they say, their response, look at their response in verse 9. I'm in Joshua 9, 9. They say to Joshua, after he asks them, "Who are you, from where you come?" They say, "We're from a very far country." Oh, very far country. Which brings to mind another thing to beware of, and that's the use of intensives. That's the use of certain words like "very." Because those that seek to deceive us, the temptation is that they will use such words like that, like "a lot" or "very," to just magnify the need for you to pay attention to them, to make a big deal about it. And so you see, we're from a very far country. And then about flattery. Beware of flattery. We're your servants. We are your servants. I mean, think about it. Here's this little caravan that comes down to the camp at Gilgal. And they're a mess. They're an absolute mess. And one of the first things out of their mouth is, we come from a far country, now therefore make a league with us. That's one of the first things that comes out of their mouth. Which tells us that they have some knowledge of who we are. And we need to be afraid. You need to be afraid of us. So we want to get on your side. And so generalities rather than specifics, flattery, the use the overuse of compliments. You see here in verse 9, we're come because of the name of the Lord your God, for we've heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. How about the extensive effort to convince? They keep on trying to convince. And you see what they do here, and they show them the bread. Look, this was hot when we left. Now it's all moldy. Look at our wine bottles. They're all ripped and torn. Look at our garments and our shoes. We barely made it. Clothed. That's what happens because we were on a very long journey. The extra effort to convince. These are just a couple little things to share with you as we think of how there will be efforts to deceive us. What would have happened if Joshua would have sought counsel from the Lord? The deception would have been revealed. Joshua would have been reminded of what Moses said in Exodus chapter 34. The people would have increased confidence in their leader and in the Lord instead of complaining. We didn't read that far. Look at what it says in verse 18. Now, 3 days later, the deceit is made known. In verse 18, the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation murmured against the princes. The people, they were complaining about what the leaders had done. How could you do this to us? The Israelites would not have had to go and defend Gibeon, as we see in Joshua chapter 10. Gibeon gets in trouble now because now it's in league and covenant with the people of Israel. Now Israel has to go and defend Gibeon. All right, so deception. When we think of deception, be reminded of these things. When Jesus was asked about the last days in Matthew chapter 24, one of the first things that he told his disciples was this. In Matthew 24, verse 4, he answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. As it was in the Old Testament, as God revealed his plan to the people of Israel, I will drive out these people. He told them that. And Joshua had this knowledge in his bank, in his mind. And yet, he still was deceived. The same is true as we have the revelation of God in our hands. God's truth is revealed. And so we must continue to lean on His truth and not depart from it. God tells us what we need to know. And Jesus says, take heed, beware that no man deceive you. There's going to be false Christs. Be careful. 1 John chapter 4. It says this, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye, 1 John 4:2 now, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Do not be deceived. God has given us what we need to know, and it's solid. And so hold tightly to His truth. Ephesians chapter 5 reminds us this way, verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not you therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes in darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Later down in the chapter, Ephesians 5 and verse 15, we read, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Make much of the Lord's will in your life. Understand it and know it well. I appreciate the writings in Revelation of how God reveals, for example, the number of the beast. Remember that? And so those who are going through that horrific time under the rule of the Antichrist, they have this truth. And here in Revelation 13:18, it says, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And when you study Revelation, you know if you get the mark of the beast, you are condemned forever in the lake of fire. And so what a crucial detail given. You need to know this, he's saying to the people going through that time of tribulation. You see, listen, God is for us, right? He is for us. And He was for, and He is for His people, Israel. And as we look at Joshua, we see that. And we see God help them conquer much of the promised land. You know, there's only one battle that I know that Joshua lost. It was Ai. After that, just victory after victory after victory. So we are reminded here tonight, the Lord is our counselor. Is He your counselor tonight? Do you lean on Him? You seek wisdom from Him? We don't have time tonight, but I was reminded of what wisdom is in Proverbs chapter 8. If you think of it, read through that and just enjoy what wisdom is, and it's just a very beautiful thing. It's wisdom from God. We need to lean on the Lord. God, thank you for this truth and this lesson from a common story, an event actually of an event that took place in history. We thank you for your word and how it helps us in life. Encourage your people as they go from this place, Lord. May we be a people that are redeeming the time. The days are evil. In Jesus' name, amen.